ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports. 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different stuff. We finally have an Olympian worth praising and worth rooting for. Tamira Mensah Stock. You know who that is?
Before yesterday, no. But I know what you're talking about.
Tamira Mensah Stock.
I can tell you this.
Katy, Texas.
I don't even know what sport she played. I just saw the headlines of her.
Wrestling.
Praising America.
Wrestling.
Wrestling, okay.
Whoa.
What? Breaking news?
Kemba Walker is finalizing a contract buyout with the Thunder.
Oh.
New York Knicks will sign the four-time NBA All-Star as a free agent. No trade? What?
That doesn't sound very Sam Presti-like. He didn't just go get Kemba Walker to buy him out. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
What has happened?
We need to scour the internet and see if we can find
that's
out something.
Shams. That's from Shams Charania.
There's more details there. Come on. That will develop. We will figure it out. Hopefully by the end of the hour.
Did Sam Presti take the vaccine and it messed up his brain?
Don't know. I mean, I'd like to say I'm pretty normal, but after the vaccine, but some would say, no, you're not, Jerry.
Adrian Wojnarowski. Four-time All-Star Kemba Walker's agreed to a contract buyout. So they didn't even bother to trade him? What? I don't understand.
I don't either. I don't get it. There has to be more to this. I feel like there should be more to this.
I don't understand. It feels like they... Feels like nothing. Traded away Moses Brown and Al Horford for, I guess, the pick that you then traded Houston for two future first-rounders?
Okay.
Interesting. Anyway.
This is going to develop. I don't think we've heard all of this.
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say that this isn't a... They're not trading Kemba Walker.
No, but...
They're getting nothing for him. That's super interesting. Anyhow. Yeah, we'll figure out. I'm sure there'll be more out, and then it'll make some sort of sense, because right now it doesn't. Anyhow, Tamira Mensah Stock, Katy, Texas, Olympic wrestler, gold medalist. We got some sound from her, and it is refreshing. I mean refreshing sound, considering some of the other garbage that we've heard from the U.S. Olympians all across the spectrum. I have figured out, through the work of the podcast, actually.
Like our podcast?
Our podcast. I have the roster of that 14U MAYB national championship team that we talked to just briefly about yesterday.
You got the roster.
With the Elk City kids, the three Elk City kids that were on there. I have actually got the entirety of the roster.
Fantastic.
And it is loaded with nothing but Western Oklahoma kids.
Love it.
From all kinds of different places. We'll talk about that, tell you who they were. Also, right here off the bat, this morning, the tentative ADM numbers released by the OSSAA. Schools now have till 9 a.m. on Monday to dispute the numbers that are put down in this ADM table. And then the board meeting on Wednesday would approve these numbers. We'll tell you what jumped out at us as far as the schools around here that might be moving, might be staying put, and what that looks like coming up. Not this year. It'll be for the 21-22 classification purposes starting next year. That's always kind of a fun time where you can see, you know, just, you know, which schools are on the brink of moving up, which ones could fall.
This is our version of conference realignment.
Kind of is, yeah. But it happens every 2 years.
Right.
And there's no backroom deals. It's how many kids go to your school.
Right.
So we'll talk about that. So, hey, listen, if you think that you can have the time and the effort to broadcast Merritt football and basketball, give us a holler. 225-969-9696. Talk to Gabe. And, yeah, get that done.
Be the voice of the Oilers. That's and right. The Oilerettes.
That's right.
Come basketball season.
Correct. Get that out there.
Be a part of the Paragon team.
Come on by.
It's a fun team.
It is a fun team.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
What's going on, Jared?
Not a lot. We got a lot to talk about. My Thunder guy gave me a little insight here.
Oh, you've got a Thunder guy now.
Apparently I do.
So you've got a Thunder guy. I wonder if your Thunder guy is the same as Jim's Thunder guy.
Very doubtful.
Okay, what do you got?
This person says, allows him, being Presti, allows him to offer only picks and pick someone up from a team without a trade. Can you decipher that?
What?
That's what he said. I'm going to say, explain this to me like I'm five. I don't, like I said, it doesn't sound very Presti-like for him to make this movement with Kemba Walker when he did without knowing what he could get for him or what the end game would be. It doesn't sound like he just picked him up just to buy him out for nothing. So I don't think we've heard the last of it.
Yeah,
this,
but
this opens doors somewhere.
If they buy him out, they're not getting anything for Kemba Walker.
I know. Okay. We'll see if I can get a little bit more clarification there. This is something I wish had broke earlier so we had time to really break it down.
This is a move you make when you're cap strapped and competing.
Yeah.
Thunder in no way near. They're closer to the salary floor
right.
than they are the salary cap.
Right.
Maybe this I mean, honestly, the best case scenario I can possibly think of for this to make sense is that Kemba Walker's going to fail his physical with New York. Like, the Thunder knew nobody would trade for him because he's damaged goods.
Right, right.
And then the question is, well, why did you?
Well, why'd you go get him?
I mean, you get the first-round pick, you flip it for two, but I mean, what does that – it's a top 14, top 16 protections on those picks coming from Detroit and I think Milwaukee. Or no, somebody bad. Minnesota, maybe. Yeah. But what good does that do you? You just get more picks in the middle of the draft like you're going to have from yourself.
Yeah.
Interesting move.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Curious move. Question on the text line, is it time to get rid of Presti? I don't think that's the case yet.
Listen,
Now wait. We all, when you say
wait,
that.
He's asking, never mind. Go ahead. Sorry.
You start out thinking, oh, that's ridiculous. But here's the thing. He's the one that created this situation for himself. And what I mean by that is this. He's the one that traded all those marquee players for the assets that he got, and most of those are draft assets. He better damn well make the right picks, or then he's the one that is to blame for all of it.
Yeah, he'll have the egg on his face, sure.
I mean,
and that comes with the territory as a GM.
It does.
But
when you create this situation,
you better
capitalize.
Yeah, you better know damn well how to fix the situation.
That's right.
Too. Yeah. So, and right now the jury is still out as far as. Is it fixable? Is he in the process of fixing it?
Well, obviously. I mean, it's way too early for that.
We can't. Giddey wasn't a splash pick like everybody. He was on nobody's radar other than Presti's.
That's not true. That's not true because I've read.
I'm saying with the stuff I'd seen. I didn't see his name. You'd see
Golden State
Book Knight, and you'd see.
Well, that's Golden State. After when it came out, Golden State.
Well, that's where I was going.
Was going to draft him with the very next pick.
After the pick, that's where I was going. Yeah. That's where I was going. Mm-hmm. That he was high on other people's radar, right. But this is stuff that you don't know here about until after the draft.
That's right.
So So let's give him the benefit of the doubt that he made the right pick. Let's mm-hmm. see if it works out. If it doesn't work out, if he's a bust in two seasons, then okay. I mean, egg on his face, and then we can start talking about is it time for him to go because
this
process isn't working.
And Poku is another one.
Yeah.
I mean, those are...
It's been 1 year.
Those I understand, but 3 years from now, those are going to be what they are. And... I know everybody wants to dog the bad picks he's made later in the draft, and there's the Hustis one, Mitch McGarry, whoever else. But I think it's, you know, like you hear, okay, if Josh Giddey isn't an all-star, is a bad pick. That is not correct. Go through the history of the sixth pick in the draft. Over the past decade, only Dame Lillard has been an all-star, I think, because we went through that.
Yeah, we did.
Before, you know, when we knew what that has. So, I just don't. Everyone wants to put NFL draft first round expectations on the NBA guys, and it's just not that way. No. You know, if you're picking last pick of the first round in the NFL draft, you're planning on getting a starter and maybe even a Pro Bowler with that pick. That's not the way the NBA draft is. Once you get outside the top 3 to 5. Everyone else is a crapshoot. In this draft, really even more than any I can remember, outside the top 3, it was kind of buyer's choice or drafter's choice at that point of who liked who. And that's why when you looked at those mock drafts, no one was close.
Right.
Because
and that's what I meant about on nobody's radar.
That's right. The mock drafts.
The mock drafts, the fans' radar. We were told it's going to be Book Knight. It's going to be...
Scotty Barnes. Kuminga.
And then when Scotty Barnes went up, he was about a pick higher than where he was projected. Yeah. I thought, okay, one of those guys might fall into our lap.
I would love to know. I would love to know. Let's say Orlando would have... liked Kuminga.
Okay.
And picked Kuminga 5th. And that means Jalen Suggs falls right in your lap.
Yeah. So you're asking the question.
I would love to know who he'd
have
picked.
You're asking the question, was Giddey the plan the entire time, or was he plan
B.
A, B, or even C based on who was still available? Like the number, you know, and it was clear that Oklahoma City was entertaining calls about trying to move up in the draft, but they're turning them down as soon as the SGA's name came up.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was clear, but I think.
And everyone thinks it was for Mobley.
Right.
I don't know if that's true or not.
But the question is, is Giddey the guy that they always planned on? They brought him in, I guess, more than once to LA to work him out.
I guess, went out in a secret one at the end of the week.
You know, was it. And then, or was the writing on the wall for him? Go, guys, we're not going to get those top 5 guys. Mm-hmm. Let's look at who's left, or not who's left, but who fits us best.
That's why I wonder how flexible he would have been.
It's a great question.
Because you want to talk about people throwing a fit, and maybe he may turn out to be right anyways. But going into this draft. With the notoriety of that Gonzaga team last year, everybody saw Jalen Suggs and what he could do. First year of actually playing basketball and not football. You know what I'm saying? Focusing mm-hmm. on basketball. And he just looks the part. I mean, if there's any player in this draft that the highest floor, to me, is him. I mean, he's not going to be a complete bust because he is what he's already – not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With where he is now. And if that would have fallen to Oklahoma City and he would have taken Josh Giddey, you want to talk about setting yourself up for disaster.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, I mean, you know, it's still here's I think what Oklahoma City clearly banking on, and I think they're already, like I said, you've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who had the only season of what, 23.7 points, shooting almost 52% from the field, 41.5 from three with six assists. There's only one guy ever that's done that in any single season. That's Larry Bird. And so maybe is it possible that we're all underrating just how good Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is and how good he can be. And so we're looking for, okay, who's going to be the cornerstone? And they think they already got him.
True. Do you think it was very telling with SGA signing the new deal, him basically, that was him signing off on Sam Presti and saying, if he didn't like, but what I'm saying is, if he didn't like the picks or didn't like the Giddy pick, would he be a little hesitant to make this long-term deal?
Problem is, can't do nothing. Because even if he doesn't sign that deal, he's going to be a restricted free agent, and then the Thunder can match any offer, which they're going to do.
Right.
So if this was the next contract and he extends early, then yeah.
Yeah.
Totally with you there. But, you know, in between this first and second contract, the truth is those guys don't have very much. They don't have very much leverage. And that's why you've only really seen Anthony Davis be able to force his way out the way that he did. You know, the question, how do you think they finish in the West? That's just so impossible to tell because you don't know who's on the team yet. Because
the teams are still forming in a way.
It is. I mean, I know this. Nobody thought Oklahoma City was going to be worth anything last year.
And they started out kind of
okay.
19,
they were 19 and 24 when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander played basketball.
Right.
And then, of course, they lost
in a quote-unquote tanking year.
And they lost, and then they did tank, and they lost 23 out of the last 25, and the record was what it was. And so, I mean, 25 games over under, the talent on that team is more than a 25 win team. The talent, I mean, last year they were right in the running for the, and it looks like they're going to, you know, 10 team playoff again with a little play in tournament. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City absolutely could be one of those 10 teams.
Yeah, I mean, if the process
toward the bottom of it,
this rebuild is, okay, tank 1 year, sign your marquee player, do, you know, the grades are still out, an incomplete grade on the draft, but get your guys. The next process should be not go out and listen, Thunder fans, it's not a championship or bust season every year.
Well,
those days
it's
are gone.
It's not right now.
But my point is, it's the next step is go out, compete, and see where we're at. Right? It's not tanking year.
Not. I don't know. I mean, it might be.
Well, if they come out and they seem pretty steady, and I would say, okay, let's keep going for this. Because we thought the Chris Paul year was going to be one of those years.
Yeah.
And then they stuck with it. Like, let's give it a push. Let's delay the tank until next season, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody in this state, in the sports media anyways, agrees that you can't tank again. Not in this market. Not here.
I don't know.
Doesn't,
how much truth
doesn't,
there is
doesn't feel like you can. But I think it's not the plan that is not go into the season. Okay, we got to tank one more year. It could be let's go into the season. Let's see how this works. If it works pretty good, let's see what we can do to move forward. And if it's not working, okay, let's rest some guys. Let's tank. Let's position ourselves better for next year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, if you suck, it's easier to tank.
Yeah. But you see that a lot everywhere, too. You see, I mean, shoot, I just described Houston last year.
Oh, for sure, especially when Harden forced his way out of there.
Yeah.
You know.
And they said, okay, well, let's shut her down.
But the problem with all this, the tanking, we saw it right here with our own eyes. Even if you do it, it doesn't guarantee you anything.
No,
because it still comes down to luck with those stupid balls.
Right.
And the one thing that Oklahoma City, everyone thought they got lucky on, was the coin flip with Cleveland. Hey, yay, we're fourth and not fifth. What a great deal. Guess what? You lose that coin toss, you get Evan Mobley, because you'd have been the third pick the way the ping pong balls worked out.
Right.
And so that's the one thing. I mean, it's just such a given that, oh, you have to tank because then you'll get a top three. That's not always the case. It's not guaranteed. No. Set in stone. And honestly, it's only a 50% chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who's one of the worst three teams this year? Orlando. Where'd they draft?
Yeah.
Fifth.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, we all make it look. See, they suck. They don't suck at tanking. They got unlucky with the lottery.
Yeah, it's got unlucky.
Did Orlando suck at tanking too? They were one of the worst three teams. Had the best three odds, but everything's looked at as results based. Orlando did exactly what you had to do, and got one pick better than Oklahoma City. Talk about unlucky. That's unlucky.
Yeah.
You tank exactly how you want to. You're one of the worst three teams. You have the best three odds, and you get the fifth pick. That's just the way it goes in the NBA.
You can win zero games
and get the fifth pick.
Still get the fifth. Yeah, that's the lottery for you.
It is, and that's just the nature.
That's why
of the
I don't
beast.
Play the lottery, because I don't have good luck.
And there you go. The fickle finger of fate.
I keep saying, oh, if I win the lottery, and my wife says, you never play the lottery, so don't even say it.
You know, I have a rule.
What's that?
It has to be a billion before
you'll go buy a...
I'll go buy a Powerball.
It's
not worth my time.
It's
not worth my time unless it's a billion. Like, I turned down 150. I guess we'll leave the Thunder topic at this. I understand... You know, you win the last game against the Clippers. You win a game here and there, and automatically that assumes bad. But the problem is, even if you lose those games, it doesn't guarantee you anything because it's still lady luck, and it's still only basically a 50-50 proposition. It's 52-48.
Yeah.
And so my question is this: what was the difference between Detroit, Houston, and Orlando? Luck. They all did the same thing.
That's all it really was.
They all did the same thing. Detroit, Houston got lucky with the ping pong balls. Orlando got unlucky with the ping pong balls. And I've already mentioned the Cleveland-Oklahoma City thing. Cleveland got unlucky with the coin flip that gave them a little worse chance and got lucky with the balls. So it's just, you know, in the NFL, if you want to suck and you want to tank and you want to get Trevor Lawrence, you can, because there's no luck involved. If you lose enough games, you're automatically there. It's not that way in the NBA. It's not that way. You could literally lose every single game and get the fifth pick.
Right.
Just ask Orlando.
Yeah. Yep.
And so that's the one thing about all of this is, even when you do what you're trying to do, it doesn't always work out. And that was clear for both Orlando and Oklahoma City this year with the way that the draft lottery worked. Okay, so the ADM stuff for OSSAA. What this is ADM is what? Average daily membership, basically attendance, average daily attendance of each school throughout the state of Oklahoma. And then they rank them from there to put them in the classes. So it's a way to classify for the classification of the sports. And of course, the first one where most, you know, football is the one that everybody looks at this for, to see, okay, who went up, who went down, what's districts are going to look like, and that sort of thing. And so obviously the second little line drawn is where you and I's eyes go very, very first, because of the football district that will be created for 4A1. And you'll notice one team came down below that line and one team went up above that line.
And I'm happy.
And that is Elgin and Woodward.
Yes.
So Elgin moved up into what would be Class 5A. Woodward dropped down into what would be Class 4A.
Now, last time I was on the air and I was covering for you, and I'd mentioned that it was basically the day that this was supposed to be released, but they delayed it, and I think they delayed it from what I understood was they were wanting to make sure the numbers were absolutely correct because there was a little delay because of trying to get those numbers as accurate as possible because of the COVID year.
With, yeah, and waiting on Oklahoma City and Tulsa was part of that too.
Yeah. So my – and I was – and I said it on air. I really, really hope Woodward comes back to 4A, which would mean they're back in the 4A1 district in football because, man, how fun is it when Clinton, Weatherford, Oak City, Woodward are all in the same district?
Well, you would certainly think that's what would happen.
You would think.
Because, I mean, with Elgin going out of 4A1 into 5A and Woodward slipping back down to 4A.
Simple trade there.
You would certainly think that would be the case.
Right.
And I know that, you know, for Woodward over the past few years being in 5A, you know, the travel is
brutal.
So much more on a weekly basis. No matter if you're, you know, 5A1 or 5A2, it's still, gosh, if you're in the – is Guymon the shortest trip? I mean, I'm serious.
Well, I mean, they're in a district that consisted of, I think, McGinnis.
Carl Albert.
Guthrie.
Piedmont.
Yeah. And then Guymon. Yeah, that there's a lot of travel for them.
And so now just getting down to, you know, I-40 – one or two times a year, depending on how that's split up between Elk City, Clinton, and Weatherford.
Yeah.
On their schedule, you know, get you at least a couple of shorter trips each and every year. And so, yeah, you would think that would be the natural thing in 4A1 would just be Elgin's into 5A, Woodward's down into 4A, Woodward's 4A1. Boom, there you have the district set. One thing that you and I were talking about off the air, and it would make sense, just the times that we've been to Newcastle and the rivalry that exists between Tuttle Blanchard and Newcastle, you know, you wonder if maybe they wouldn't want to make a trade there as well and get Newcastle into 4A2, and then 4A1 would get somebody else from the city area. Western Heights, John Marshall would be the two main targets, it looks like to me, or you know, teams or schools that would come this way. You know, if I get a vote, I'd vote for Western Heights.
Why?
Because they're not as good as John Marshall.
Okay.
I
haven't really been paying attention with the drama that's happened with Western Heights, but will they even have a school?
Yeah, I don't, or, you know, and then there's
are
that.
Are they in the OSSAA now? It's such a weird deal what's going on there. But I agree, Tuttle should, I think, be in the same district as Blanchard. I'm sorry, Newcastle should be in the same district as Blanchard and Tuttle. You always hear about that Tri-City rivalry all three of those guys have. And whenever they play, it's almost must-watch football. It's really good.
You know, and with what happened in basketball in the playoffs, maybe it would make some sense to get John Marshall out of there. Trade those two. Because if Newcastle's coming in and say Western Heights would be the one that leaves, that leaves John Marshall and Newcastle in the same district. I don't know if you want that right now. So maybe that's the trade. If you wanted to get Newcastle in there with Tuttle and Blanchard, John Marshall comes out.
That's a good point.
Comes out here with 41. Anyway, right? Yeah, I mean, to me, the thing that jumps off the page at all of this is that barring something totally crazy, next year, Woodward will be in the same district as Elk City, Clinton.
Again, I love it for all the reasons I said. Because the Woodward Elk rivalry is always so much fun in any sport, especially football. It's been real fun, and I think it's been real good for both cities. So I'd love that it would come back and it would mean something being a district game.
Yeah, I think you can pretty well book that. Elsewhere, it always amazes me every time I see this, how high Clinton moves up this list in 4A.
Yeah.
You know, they're the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th biggest school
Yeah.
In 4A, much by far the biggest school of the three I-40 cities right through here. And you feel like they're the smallest town, right?
Yeah, yeah, they do. They,
I mean, they feel like the smallest town by a little bit when you compare them to here or Weatherford, but they've got the biggest school by almost 100 students. 630 for Clinton, 557 for Weatherford, and Elk City's way down at 517. It always kind of surprises me.
And I said this too to you. Every time this list comes out, Clinton creeps up a couple spots in the 4A pecking order as far as ADM is concerned. And I'm just thinking, man, one day, 4 or 6 years from now, we're going to see this list and Clinton's going to be in 5A if this trend continues.
Yeah, there's still a long way to go as far as the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have to gain another 60 students, basically.
But, man, I mean...
But it does seem like they keep going higher. Like
that's improbable. It's I don't know if it's economics, if they open up something and a lot that creates a lot of jobs and all of a sudden you got families moving to town with a bunch of kids. I mean, you never know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that factors into that. And then there could be a mass exodus of people. I don't know. Now, let me ask about Elk City. You mentioned they're at 516. The smallest school in 4A is 478. Any concern with Elk City creeping down to that 3A level?
Seems like a ton of people to lose. But, you know, obviously over here.
And I mentioned economics.
Oil field is right. A big part of that. I mean, that's just the truth, you know. And also, you know.
But oil field, you know, it'll come back.
The Clinton people can have this same conversation, too. Although, you know, there's actually a town there. But, you know, Merritt's got 188.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, it's a school. And I'm not, that's just the truth. There's a whole 188 other students that are in a 2A school. That are right here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I get that Clinton has Arapahoe, but Arapahoe's actually, you know, they're a town.
Right, right.
You know,
they
have their own sales tax base. And, you know, that's 118 there. So, you know, maybe, but that seems like a long ways to fall still even further.
Yeah.
You know, you're only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots away, but you're also, you look at 470 at Cleveland versus 516 here. And that's another 50 students you'd have to lose. So
I would absolutely,
probably not.
I would absolutely hate to be one of these schools that are right on the line, regardless of class. Like, say, Pryor. Pryor has been 5A for 10, 15 years.
Yeah, now they're down to 4A.
And now they're the biggest school in 4A. Look at Medill. They were 3A forever. Now they're up in 4A, the smallest school in 4A. And you got teams or schools that we are so used to being 4A forever. Cleveland and Cushing are suddenly down in 3A. And Bridge Creek is creeping up towards 4A status. So I would hate to be around that because as a coach for any sport, or especially football, you're preparing for this district play, then every 2 years you got to switch it up because it just keeps hopping back and forth. And Woodward's been like that for the
yeah, I was going to say. Okay,
Woodward's been in that situation for a while.
It feels like you know those teams that are going to be that.
Yeah.
You know, Anadarko was forever.
Yes.
They're actually kind of creeping down toward the middle of 3A right now with their enrollment. But, yeah, Woodward is always there. Felt like Ardmore bounced back and forth. McGinnis would bounce back and forth as far as 5A and 4A goes. And then Anadarko was on the bottom side of that between 3A and 4A. You know, outside of – you know, we haven't – gosh, when's the last time we've seen one of these I-40 schools back in the mid-2000s when Clinton was a 3A school? Yeah, think about that.
Clinton went to a 3A.
That was like, what, 07?
Yeah, that's 07,
crazy.
08.
Think about that. In just a little over a decade, they've gone from on the line from 3A and 4A to one of the biggest schools in 4A.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then right when, like you mentioned, when Clinton went to 3A for I believe it was like 4 years, then they jumped back up to 4A. All of a sudden, Weatherford went down to 3A And so there was a period
early 90s Weatherford, I remember being 3A, like early 90s.
Yeah, but that happened again in the 2000s.
It did.
There's a period of like 6 years, because Weatherford didn't stay there very long. There's a period of like 6 years.
Hey, Clinton was there four, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clinton and Weatherford, that rivalry game was a non-district game. It was sometimes it was like the first game of the year. They just started off like that. And
which is wild, because Elk City was the one that never dropped.
Yeah, they stayed 4A. They're consistently 4A.
And now they're the smallest one out of all three of them.
Isn't that crazy?
By quite a margin. 40 students. Had a text about the smaller schools. We're trying
to figure that one out.
We're trying to figure it out because, you know, a bunch don't play football. So, you know, it's a basketball thing for some, football thing for others. The nearest, just, and this is totally unscientific, don't quote me, but the nearest that we can tell with the names that are on this list, I feel like Cashin would be the biggest school in Class A on the football side, right?
Yes. Yes.
Now, some of this could change for basketball because schools don't play football and all that kind of stuff, but I feel like Cashin is the biggest school in Class A for football.
Because they're in the same area of Hobart and Mangum.
Hobart, Mangum, Sayre.
Hooker, Cordell.
Yes.
Yes, that's all. All those teams we mentioned are Class A schools in football.
In football, and it goes down to Pahrump for football.
Correct.
Now, how many of those schools don't play football, which would allow some of these others to come up? I mean, I'm looking right at Hydro Eakley. They don't play football. So then, does Rattan play football? I don't think so. They play fall baseball. So now Hollis. So Hollis would be, if they wanted to play 11-man football, would they have to?
There's that cutoff.
Yeah. Would they have to, or do they get the choice? Because by school size, they could play 8-man.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they choose not to participate? They basically were like an independent?
They weren't allowed.
Oh.
Because of the way it happened. In a district, before the 2 years was up, I think they lost students to where they couldn't field one. So then they had to play 8-man as an independent until it was reshuffled.
Understood. Okay.
It's what I think happened.
Okay. So it wasn't by their choice. It was, gotcha.
Kind of so. And then they petitioned to get back in to play 8-man, I believe, last year, and it didn't happen. They were not allowed.
Gotcha. So we were kind of talking about when it comes to small schools
that don't play football, where the cut is.
Yeah, because we were really interested in, especially in our area, of what small schools could be affected by this as far as participating as a Class A school or Class B. And I think from what we could decipher, and again, don't quote us.
Yeah, I know. I keep saying that. Because as I look at this, where we thought the break was, and some of these schools are perpetually here and there. But as I look at this, where we thought the break was, I see a couple of teams that have been fixtures in Class B state tournaments that we think will be in Class A.
Tell us who that is.
Red Oak.
Ah.
Weber's Falls. Sorrel. Sorrel's been back and forth.
Yes, they have.
And maybe Red Oak has too. But anyhow, but that's where we find Canute. You know, Calumet's been back and forth from A to B.
Yeah.
At different times. And that's where, like I said, that's where we find Canute, right there. In that group with Red Oak, with Drummond, with Canute, Calumet, Weber's Falls, you know, so, you know, then you see Stewart and Bennington, which have been A. I mean, they've been in the state tournament in Class A. So we think that's where it is. Verdon is A, and then the cut comes at O'Keen to be in Class B.
So am I reading this right? Fort Cobb would drop to Class B in basketball?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's where it shows.
That's huge.
Cheyenne.
Oh, wow.
Or does it go all the way down to Macomb then?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Exactly where that cut is.
Where that cut is.
Because a bunch of these schools have been both. Crimlin Hillsdale was the Class B state champ 2 or 3 years ago on the girls' side.
And I know people who know are listening.
I know.
Text us.
Like Blair. Blair's been Class B the whole time.
Yeah.
They're right alongside Fort Cobb in the same group.
Gary.
Earlsboro played Calumet, the Class B state final, just a handful of years ago. Yeah. Or no, that was LaFleur. No, LaFleur. But there's LaFleur in that same group. Anyhow, that gets kind of tricky.
And it's tricky for all sports, too, because you mentioned football, basketball, even baseball.
One thing I can guarantee.
Softball, yeah.
I can guarantee Broken Arrow is in 6A1, and Freedom is in Class B. I can guarantee you that.
That's guaranteed.
Because Broken Arrow has 5,235 kids per day. Freedom
easily the largest school,
easily,
by the way.
Easily. Almost 1,000 more than Tulsa Union. And Union's almost 1,000 more than Jinx.
You'd think Jinx and Union were closer.
Oh, yeah.
They're not.
Freedom, 13.
13. 13. And what's cool about
that's
this,
wild.
The 6A1 cutoff is at 16 and 17.
Bixby.
Bixby is now in 6A1.
That's right. That's right. I think that's...
For you big boy football fans, that's cool. That's
for the
awesome.
For the larger schools, that's definitely the headliner.
Yeah.
That Bixby is the smallest school in 6A1.
But they've dominated 6A2.
They have, and guess what? They dominated Jinx not too long ago as well. Yeah, I knew there was a beatdown a couple years ago. 57-0.
I remember that.
Bixby over Jinx.
I remember that. It was funny. Speaking of Jinx, when we went to state back in June, we stayed in Jinx. Stayed the night in Jinx. And we were really just killing time and driving around town, walking around their downtown. And their downtown is really close to their school.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this big indoor facility, like most 6A schools with a lot of cash do. And around the side is the home of the Trojans. And boy, those are girls. Our little Trojanettes. They thought, whoa, look at that. They put that sign up for us. No.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Had the old Trojan head and everything. And, you know, they're used to seeing that in their own school. And they saw that. Said, well, you know, other schools had the same mascot. They couldn't grasp that. They thought they were the only Trojans in the world.
Yeah.
Well, come football season, I'll turn on a USC game for you.
It was funny because that Jinx Union experience, if you haven't had it, do it. First off, it's awesome. But I guess 98 in Stillwater, they played for the state title that Friday night before Elk City and Clinton played the second time for the state title in back-to-back years. And so
– did you go?
Oh, yeah. We got there – The football team, the Elk City, we got there early afternoon to back then Lewis Field.
Right.
And walked around on that old AstroTurf field to kind of get an idea of what it was like or whatever. And then went back, checked in the hotel, and went to the game.
Awesome.
So it was pretty funny because, you know, everybody was kind of joking around who you're rooting for type of thing. Well, Union, on their helmets...
Had the U.
Right. Like Miami. Of course, back, you know, people liked the U. And so there was a faction of, you know, throwing up the U.
Right.
And then some others that would make a little J with their finger for Jinx. And anyhow, that was pretty funny, the back and forth that went on.
Who won?
Jinx.
Jinx won that time?
42-28, I believe.
Cool.
And I think that was a year where... I think that was the year where Union won in the regular season, and then Jinx won the state title.
Yeah. Happened a lot between those two.
What was the – see, Josh Blankenship was the quarterback for Union. What was that guy's name? There was a – oh, gosh, safety. Played at OU. Matt McCoy was on the field for Jinx. There was guys that you'd reckon. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah,
everything kind of escapes my head now, but – it was before, like, Kewan Jones.
Was Kalmus on that team?
No, he was already at OU. He was
already on campus.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and like Jason Lohr, those guys that went to either Nebraska or Mahan that went to Notre Dame, they were gone.
Who was the quarterback? Ben Bowling?
Beyond me, man.
Who's an OSU guy? Played just a little bit at OSU. I think maybe Ben Bowling.
I mean, I retained some information, but man, you go way back. I don't know how you'd remember all that. Remember the big names.
You know, I think it was 40. Yeah. I think it was 42-28. Jinx won by 2 touchdowns. It was cool, though. I mean, you know, we thought there was a bunch of people at the game the next day between Elk City and Clinton, and there was for the size of the schools.
Sure.
That night, you know, it was almost full at Lewis Field. You know, 28,000-30,000 people.
Don't doubt it.
In the stands.
Don't doubt it. When they have the regular season matchup, they have it over there at Tulsa University.
Bo Bowling.
Skelly, thank you.
Skelly.
And Skelly Stadium. And, man, that it'd be packed.
Yeah.
You'd see it be packed. I have never experienced the game because of it. Well, for what we do,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard to find a time to even where we don't have a game and they're playing. This year we might actually find that. We got 3 Thursday games. But that's a game. That's a bucket list type game if you're a sports fan in Oklahoma to go check out. That's a great conversation to have. Bucket list of games in the state of Oklahoma. Sporting events in Oklahoma you have to check out. That's a good idea. That's a good conversation. Only like 5 minutes. We don't have time for that.
Yeah, let's mark that down.
That's a good
Don't let me forget not to put that on the list. By the way, a couple of things to wrap this up for a Wednesday. So you know how Lincoln Riley, when somebody, and coaches all over have this, but Riley was kind of the first one that did it. When he had put up the eyes, the googly eyes
yeah.
on Twitter, that makes you know, okay, somebody committed to the University of Oklahoma. Well, Ryan Hibble does something kind of the same. He posts...
Ryan Hibble being the
OU golf coach.
Right.
He posts a puzzle piece when he gets a new commit.
I see. So
last night he posted a little puzzle piece on Twitter. And you know the coolest thing about that was? I knew who it was.
How'd you know?
I know who the puzzle piece was.
How'd
and
you know?
It became official today from that young man, one Ryder Cowan. Committed to the University of Oklahoma to go play golf.
Oh, very cool.
For Ryan Hibble. So that was kind of cool. Just as a
you knew and you
I
had
knew.
The scoop.
I did.
You had the weight though.
I did, and I didn't want
to
say anything
Were you sworn
until
to secrecy.
I didn't want to say anything until he put it out there officially, but he did out on social media.
Well, very cool.
And so yeah, Ryder Cowan committed to play golf at the University of Oklahoma.
That is cool.
That's an awesome thing.
Yes.
Those MAYB, did we get there? Did I tell everybody?
No.
I didn't tell
them. We teased it. We got time real quick.
MAYB, those guys, young men, a 14U team comprised of nothing but Western Oklahoma kids, won the MAYB national title up in Wichita, Kansas this weekend. The roster, like I said, filled with guys from around Western Oklahoma. 3 guys from Elk City, Damon Jackson, Catch Gino, and Cole Bowie. You had Cash Shipley, who is from Woodward. Tate and Ethan Sage, both from Weatherford. Brady Wooten from down at Sentinel. Aiden Crumley from over at Clinton. And then Braden Miller from Arnett. Congratulations to those young men on winning the MAYB 14U national title.
It's
on the basketball floor.
A lot of local.
It really is.
A lot of local flair there. That is really cool.
Super cool. And then something else that's super cool. We finally have an Olympic athlete we can all root for. Tamira Mensa Stock.
Tamira Mensa Stock.
Tamira Mensa Stock. U.S. wrestler. Won the gold medal. She began wrestling in 10th grade down at Katy, Texas. After her sisters kind of helped her go and do that. Talked her into it. She wins the gold medal, which is just fantastic. But even more fantastic here is her raw emotion after winning that title.
I surprise myself. It's by the grace of God I'm able to even move my feet. Like, I just leave it in his hands, and I pray that all the practice, that the hell that my freaking coaches put me through pays off. And every single time it does, and I get better and better. And it's so weird that there is no cap to the limit that I can do. And I'm excited to see what I have next.
Last question for you. That American flag around your shoulders looks pretty good. How does that feel to represent your country like this?
It feels amazing. I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living there. I love it, and I'm so happy I get to represent USA. Love it.
Well said. Congratulations. Enjoy that gold, and we'll see you out there on the podium, okay?
Thank you. I'll try not to cry, but...
You can cry all you want, Tamyra. I mean, now that awesome. Is what I'm talking about.
That's awesome.
Where has that been?
Throw her a parade.
Where has it been? And it's easy to root for somebody like
canceled,
that.
It's been canceled, Aaron. It's been canceled.
That's just greatness.
By the Talking Heads.
Greatness.
Thank goodness she and she will probably, this will probably be, you know, swept under the rug by those Talking Heads, right?
She wants to give.
Because it goes against what they say.
She wants, with whatever endorsements she's able to earn, she wants to give $30,000 to her mother so she can start a food truck because she's a great cook. And she's a really good barbecuer. So that's what she's wanting to do with some of the money that she might create.
That's awesome.
So that's great. Absolutely great. Man. Isn't it nice to leave on such a good note?
It really is.
We got the text line blowing up. USA, USA.
Love it.
Everybody should be like that. That's exactly right. Everybody over there representing the United States should act just like Tamyra Mensah-Stocker.
Amen.
Everybody have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.